The testimony we had was getting back now to the public building situation. The officials, the public officials and the prosecution were not so much interested in a severe penalty as they were an enforceable statute, a means to deal with the situation on the spot.
I appreciate you bringing this up, Mr. Stiglitz, because I didn't realize that this was coming up today, and I want to ask a question. Are the Farm Bureau and the forestry people aware that we're not pursuing this? Because you mentioned 2 years ago they really were quite upset, and I'd like to know whether, in their view, this takes care of the situation as well as can be done.
You tell him what you thought your conversation with Howard Fuji of the Farm Bureau.
Well, I had a conversation with him yesterday, and I can't speak for all of them. I think that generally he felt this kind of approach was a desirable one. They felt that the existing statutes on trespass were too complicated, and it was too difficult to enforce them and to control trespass. This is a, like I say, this is a far simpler definition of trespass than we have now. We did have some, we had a request in the commission last year, Mr. Chairman, from, I believe it was from the Benton County Grange, who wanted to introduce a bill based on these proposed actions last session of legislature on the state. Is that correct? This is exactly the same language they had before the last year. And of course, it would be a first-degree trespass if it were a dwelling situation. And that's all I have to say with respect to burglary.
Very proud.
Don, would you look at the amendments on 3D?
Well, I might mention that we attempted to define lawfully when we were going over this, and we finally gave up on it, and left it really by inference that when we say a person in charge, I think the assumption almost has to be made that if you're going to give the person in charge the authority to make these directions, that the direction he gives is going to be lawful. And if it turns out it wasn't lawful, this would be, I suppose, a matter for defense. But there were so many different hypotheticals that we could imagine, and so many different kinds of situations that could occur, and the different kinds of directions that would have to be given by different people, that we finally decided that we couldn't really define lawful.
Any other questions? Any other comments on Article 15? Lieutenant Warren.
If I may, I'd like to introduce you.
Yes.
Dick Clark again, ladies and gentlemen. We have three basic things we'd like to talk to you about on burglary. I'm introducing Lieutenant Myron Warren, head of the Portland Police Burglary Detail, who is known up and down the Pacific Coast as Mr. Burglary. Lieutenant Warren's a policeman with 34 years experience, almost all of which have been in burglary. There's one person I think qualified to speak about burglary is him. We're here to talk to you basically on three areas. Number one, the fact that we feel that non-residential burglary should be a Class D felony and that residential burglary should be a Class A felony. And the reasoning why will be explained to you by Lieutenant Warren because of the tremendous crime problem we face. We have proposed a change in the wording of a dwelling for reasons that became apparent to the committee that don't necessarily affect metropolitan Portland, but have a great effect on your downstate areas that are the sites of recreational homes. We have proposed a dwelling occupancy requirement be included to use the word intermittent, because in the Diamond Lake area just this last winter, 63 vacation homes were burglarized by snowmobiles. And a lot of articles of sentiment taken. On the coast, I know Frank Kuma was here, an mention that as well. They have a large amount of coastal resort homes that are burglarized because the occupants are gone. And that would be in section 135, and that is in our formal prepared amendment under the definition of dwelling under subsection 2. By the way, this is the first time I've heard of John Leahy's approach to the trespass situation. I hardly concur with it without consulting the committee. Trespass is an extremely difficult area the way the law is now. I think he's done a good job. Those are basically the three areas. The third area is to punish as a first-degree burglar the safe cracking crow, the one who has the acetylene torches and nitroglycerin. And to that effect, we would ask, and I haven't done it the right way, so I'll do it the right way by tomorrow, that another subsection of the burglary in the first degree be inserted to include that type of safe cracker that uses the acetylene burning bar, that type of device, which is not designed to gain entry into the premises, but instead is designed to penetrate a secure area inside a place that he's burglarizing. Now, with that, I'll introduce Lieutenant Warren, a man who knows more about burglary than I'll ever hope to know.
Chairman, I'd like to illustrate with the overlay map the problem. And I think by showing you the problem in the city of Portland, you'll probably understand why we've asked this question much better than I could with his words. What we've done here is we've made a overlay map of all of the burglaries that occurred in the city of Portland in the year 1970. And to make it more graphic for you, we start with the first one, January 1970. The blue mark, each mark indicates burglary. Now the blue mark is a residential burglary. The green mark is a commercial burglary. Now you're looking at approximately 800 burglaries.
700
to 800 each month. So that's single month.
Excuse me,
are the green ones
on there? I can't.
Yeah, we're not very.
Not many, I'm okay.
I might explain at this point. As of this year, residential burglaries are running 3 to 1 over commercial. 10 years ago, it used to be just over 1. So as we moved from January to February, through the months, you begin to see the picture as we have to work with. You'll see some areas already where we're through about 4 months where you can't tell really how many burglaries in that particular area because of the dock over and dock. You don't see the real picture. So if you drop down fast through here, give you the entire picture from 1970. That's a little awesome when you look at that. And this is true all over the country, not only in Portland, but it's true in all the cities as well as in the smaller communities in proportion. Now you're looking at 9,316 burglaries, and I think you have in front of you a statistical chart. Yes. Now on that chart, you have 4 years broken down commercial and residential by the month. Those figures have doubled in 4 years' time. If you look at the lower right-hand corner, there's a figure of 9,316. Total number for the year 1970. If you look over in the left-hand corner, I think it's a total of 5,000, which is almost doubled in 4 years in the city of Portland. Now to give you a clear picture of this, so if you say, well, I don't live in Portland, what are you talking about in relation to burglary? That's just maybe a Portland problem. That isn't true. You see all these areas out here where there's no markings because we don't keep track by this method what's taking place in the TriMet area. If you're looking in the TriMet area, which we take is considered the metropolitan area of Portland, includes Washington County, Clackamas County, Montgomery County, outside the city of Portland, Clark County, Vancouver, Washington. Your federal statistical picture is listed. You list the TriMet area. And for the past 10 years, if you double, if you multiply this figure here in Portland by 2, you will get roughly the problem in the climate area. So if we're looking at approximately 10,000 burglaries in 1 year, you're looking at 20,000 in the metropolitan area. This is basically our problem, and it goes a lot deeper than just a few dots. Constantly in my office, I'm besieged with phone calls from the citizens who are afraid, really scared. As they watch TV and they read the accounts in the papers, they know that there's probably nothing more paramount than most people's minds with a crime problem. The thing that I'm concerned with mostly is the women that are involved. Women really live in fear. Once their home has been burglarized, the constant question is, what am I going to do when I come back? I think the male species, he doesn't have quite this fear, although many of them do. But the female is defensive against this type of individual, even if he doesn't bother her. Just he coming into her home is no civilization. I had a woman call me last week. She wanted to know what kind of good lock to put on the door. This is a very common inquiry. And after it was put a back door or front door, she said, no, open my bedroom door. From the sound of her voice, a middle-aged lady. In talking with her, I learned that she lived alone and that her house had been burglarized a couple of weeks previous, and the burglars were arrested. And in the meantime, she had found that the burglar, when he entered her home, had unlocked her bedroom window. Well, she didn't know that this is a common M.O. of a burglar. He comes into a residence or a building. Immediately, he arranges for an area of escape, an avenue of escape, to change the track. So this burglar did what was wrong. He unlocked that bedroom window. Not with the intention of coming back, but she felt that that's what he was going to do, come back during the night. And she wanted to know what kind of lock that she could put on her bedroom door. Now, these people live in terrible fear. So we feel that if you lower the penalty for burglary in residence, that you're making it easier for the burglar. We feel it should be a Class A crime. And I think that's the point of this out. But there was a difference of opinion in this committee. Next, we feel that commercial burglar also, the penalty should be up to a Class B and not a Class A. These are the areas that we feel there should be a change.
Senator Carson has a question about that.
What's the burger look like? Are they dope addicts? I'm not trying to sit on there, but are there a wide spectrum of ages and backgrounds? Are we dealing with a particular person that's cropped up or what?
I'm not going to take up too much time. I'm trying to give you, a picture of a burger. It might also explain why we have this video. We're dealing with juveniles as well as adults. Year 69, our figure shows in the city of Portland, 56% of people arrested for burglaries were juveniles. So that takes care of part of the narrative. And most of those are residential burglaries, juveniles. The next group that helped to increase this picture here over the last 8 years has been the addicts. And particularly the youth who has no criminal background, high school age, gets involved in drugs, fooling his parents, they're the last to learn that he's involved in drugs. So he's supporting his drug habit by burglary, because this is a place that he knows where to go. He's been in some friend's home, his boyfriend, he's been in their parents' home. He goes there to pick up items that he can sell and take to drugs. Now, then you have another group that's come into existence in the last few years, and this is the hippie type of individual who roamed about the country with no means of legitimate means of livelihood. He burglarized to support his livelihood. So these two are new people on the city. Then you have the real pro, the fellow who either goes for residential burglaries or for the safe. Residentially, goes to the jewelry, the furs, something that he can turn into real money. Well, if he goes for safe, like we in Portland have a safe burglary, $250,000. Just a couple of months ago. Now, that person on the proposed statute, well, she could give him another 5 years to do that. So this is a worthwhile, if that's all. $5 today. Now, in that same conviction, top down to $5 if we left the law. It's easy to see the Supreme Court and the technicality of the law. These are the reasons we want to get at the real pro. Another thing that the real pro does in the area of burglary, when he goes to the penitentiary, the state burglar is known as the king of thieves. And he's a pagan. The individual teaches the kid in the penitentiary how to be smart, how to beat the law. And they look up to him. Now, if there's no more penalty attached to that soul, he's going to avoid house burglary. He's going to just go for those crimes that is the least penalty and the most competent. And he's going to point out to these kids, here's how you do it. You have to have a deterrent of some kind. It's not a cure-all, but it helps. In our present burglary law, we have the law in the book, burglary that includes 40 years of maximum. In my years of policing, I've seen several people tried on this, but I know of a lot of burglars who didn't come to Oregon because of it. Because of the maximum, the heavy penalty, I feel we should keep up something in our laws that they deter this kind of happening. We can enjoy the Christmas with the community against the real pro, and this is another reason. Any other questions?
Any other questions, Pat Wong? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you for your
very informative. The education committee is supposed to meet in here at 3 o'clock, so tomorrow will be our purpose to go ahead with those that are scheduled, which would be 17, 18, 19, right? And then, if we can, pick up number 6 or 7.